Let me say, certainly it's good to see, I believe I'll leave them. It's good to see each and everybody here tonight. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Appreciate the good presence of God. Appreciate what God allows us to feel. Appreciate the service this morning, and certainly appreciate your patience. I guess you figured out that whenever a man hadn't stood, and I hope I wasn't long-winded this morning, but we wanted to preach what God had laid on our heart. I don't want to ever go no further, but I don't want to do any less than what God has asked us to do. A good crowd tonight, certainly. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. You're here tonight because you wanted to be here. And my prayer is that God would bless you for your efforts and that God would give us something that certainly we stand in need of. God being God and knowing what we stand in need of is certainly laid. Some scripture on our heart. No doubt a message that, first of all, is to your pastor. And the thought that God had laid up on our heart is simply this. You know, so often we live in a world that's full of compromise. A lot of people want politicians that are compromised and work together, and I understand all that. But there is a sin of compromise for the Christian. And if you and I are not careful, we'll begin to compromise with a lot of the value and the value system of the world and find ourselves in trouble. I ask myself tonight, maybe we're in the situation that we're in as a nation because for way too long the church has compromised with what's going on in society. At one time, the church and people that believed in God, they were the norm and unbelievers were the exception. At one time, the church was the culture of our society. And now it's become the counterculture. Isn't that something how over a period of maybe 30 years, things have changed so much. Now we're the voice of opposition. Now if you'll have it, you know, it ought to be cool because now we're the rebels, if you'll have it that way. Those of us that believe in the true Word of God. And I've always had maybe a fighting spirit within me in the sense of God give us enough backbone to stand up for what we believe in. And if we're not careful, this sin of compromise will enter into our lives and we'll find ourselves compromising with things in our lives. Let me say this, that God is always just to forgive us of our sin. But for God to forgive us, we've got to first confess our sin. Compromise will harden your heart and tell you that what you're doing is all right because everybody else does it. And I want you to listen to me, especially my young folks in the audience tonight. Just because everybody else does it don't mean that it's all right. That the Word of God is laid out in such that God has revealed to us what He likes and what He does not like. God has revealed to us what pleases Him and what brings His judgment. And I know you young folks are in a difficult place because you don't believe like everybody else. You have morals and values, and it's more than that. You have the Holy Ghost of God living down inside you. There are things that other people can get away with and do. You can't do because there's something greater than that within you. And there's a story I want to talk to you about tonight. It comes from 1 Samuel. The 15th chapter, and in 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, and you'll also find it, remember when the children of Israel came down, whenever Moses came down off the mountain, and he had been gone a long time, and they had taken their earrings and their jewelry, and had made a golden calf and called it Baal, and began to worship it, how that in that moment, Aaron compromised. Everybody said, Moses is gone. This is what we ought to do. I'm going to tell you, we're going to hear a lot of voices over the next little while that are going to tell us things that we need to do. But if they're contrary to the Word of God, we do not need to compromise. You cannot compromise with sin and come out on the right side of God. Brothers and sisters, God has given us His Word and God has given us His Spirit to give us strength in these days.
We are the counterculture. We are the people of God that believe that the price of sin is still death. We are a people that believe that God is righteous and perfect, and without holiness no man shall see God. God has not compromised His values, and God has not changed not one iota. In this 15th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel, the Bible teaches us or tells us that here we see King Saul. He's been anointed the king, and they're going to go into battle with the Amalekites. God has told them that whenever you go into battle with the Amalekites, I want you to kill everybody and everything. Take the sheep, the oxen, the goats, destroy them. Every man, woman, child, even the king, and destroy them. God had a specific purpose, and we read that and we say, man, that really sounds hard. But I want you to know this. God knows what He's doing when He tells us to do it. And so He tells them to do that very thing. They go into battle, and I'm going to pick it up in verse 8. The Bible says, speaking of Saul, he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. In other words, he did not kill the king, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen and of the fatlings and of the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was defiled, they refused, and they utterly destroyed. Then the word of the Lord came unto Samuel the prophet, and this is God saying, it repenteth me that I have set Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried all night unto the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father God, we thank You for the opportunity to share Your Word with Your precious people. God, I'm so thankful tonight for the love of my church family and for the love of my Savior, Jesus Christ. God, as I kneel here before You tonight, God, I realize that we live in a world that wants us to compromise our values, compromise the standards of God. Father, I pray tonight, open our eyes. God, give us strength. God, give us courage to stand up and be bold. Lord, let us not be guilty of the sin of compromise. For Lord, if we compromise with sin, then God, we allow death to enter in and destruction even into our own lives, our own family, and even into our church. God, help us stand boldly, but God, stand with love and compassion. Lord, help us stand against the sin of the world, but love the sinner man that he might be saved. God, I pray, Lord, speak to my life tonight. God, I already know this message is going to hit home. It already has. Lord, help me be a man that does not compromise to sin. And I'd ask You this in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Here we see that King Saul has been anointed to be the king of the children of Israel, and God has commanded him to go into battle. They went into battle, and God said, kill everyone and everything. But as I've read to you tonight, he left King Agag alive. Not only did he leave him alive, but they took the best lamb, the best sheep, the best oxen, the best cattle. They brought them back, and God saw this and knows now that Saul has turned his heart away from God. How many of you know that sometimes the commandments of God are hard? Listen, when I say they're hard for us to keep, in the sense that all of us have a carnal side to us. And sometimes the carnal man desires to go back into the captivity and the sin from which God delivered him. But I also want you to know this, that God gives us a way out, and that through our faith in Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit of God, we can overcome who we were and what we were, never to return again. The whole point of being saved by the grace of God, young people understand this, the whole point of being saved was for gone so radically to change your desires and your heart that what you would truly desire would be His commandments and His will and the life that He has for you. God had everything planned out, told King Saul what He wanted him to do, and Saul obeyed him not. Now here Samuel goes to Saul, and in verse 13, as he comes to Saul, Saul looks at him, and Saul, let me say this, Saul has sinned against God. Saul knows what he has done, and Saul is willing to admit his sin. Here Samuel comes, and Saul says unto him, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, for I have performed the commandment of the Lord." Now, we know this, Saul has not performed the commandment of the Lord. And now Saul wants to cover it up, and he wants to lie to Samuel and tell Samuel something that is not true. I said this morning, listen, we look around at a lot of the things that are going on in the world, and there are a lot of people that think they can say and do anything against God they want to do and get away with it, Scott. For I want to tell you, heaven bears a record. God knows who's following Him, and God knows who has cast under their feet the name and the blood of Jesus Christ. God knows these things, and God knew that Saul had sinned and not followed His commandment. Here the man of God comes, and the first thing Saul does is he lies about it. Why is it so often when we're confronted with our sin, we want to lie about it and try to justify it? Here he is, he just flat out tells a lie. He said, "I've done everything that the Lord has commanded me to do." I want to ask you tonight, have you done what the Lord has asked you to do? Are you living a life that is pleasing to God? Are you doing that God has called you to do? Saul said, "Why, sure, I've performed the commandment of the Lord." And Samuel said, "Well, if you have, then what meaneth the bleating of the sheep? Why do I hear these sheep? And why do I hear the cattle?" And listen, Saul, if you've done this, what means of the bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, now listen, here Saul is again. He's confronted again with his sin. Samuel says, "Look, if you've done what God told you to do, why am I hearing cattle and sheep?" What does he do? The first thing he does, he says, "Well, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep to sacrifice unto the Lord God, and the rest we've utterly destroyed." The first thing he does is he blames some body else. Let me tell you tonight, it's not your fault I'm the way I am. It's not your fault I have the sin in my life that I have. And it's certainly not my fault of the things that are going on in your life. Every one of us has to be accountable to God for our own sin and our own iniquity in our own lives. Here Saul is, and the first, why doesn't that sound a whole lot like Adam? "It's this woman that you gave me. It's really her fault." Listen, whenever Moses came down from the mountain, what did Aaron say? He said, "It's these people. They've done this." And Aaron had a part to play. Let me tell you this. God knows what I'm doing right now. God knows why I say what I say and why I do what I do. And God knows me, and God knows you. And there's nothing hidden from God. The greatest lie that Achan ever told, whenever he took the stuff of the goodly and Babylonian garment, in another story we read about, it was he told himself nobody would ever know. Maybe Saul had convinced himself, "Well, God may not just find out about this. Maybe nobody will know." Let me tell you, maybe he told himself, "Well, if I spare the king and if I spare the oxen, maybe nobody will know, and really it's not hurting anybody." Listen, hang on to me for just a little while. Hear this. A lot of times we tell ourselves what we do don't hurt anybody else, or we convince ourselves that it's okay. If it's not in the Word of God, and it's contrary to the Word of God, and if God has spoke against it, there's no way for us to justify it. Maybe the reason we're where we're at in our nation today is because we've justified people's sin. Maybe we said, "Well, they were just born that way, and they can't help it." Maybe we said, "Well, it's the way they were raised, and God bless their heart, God. They really can't. Let me tell you something. There's only one justification for our sin, and it's the blood of Christ. Compromise. And I find myself so often, listen, I am what they call a peacekeeper. If you've ever been around me, you'll find my job in my family is to be a peacekeeper. And if you're married to a red-headed Irish girl, you'll understand why. She ain't here, I can say that tonight. Yeah, big talk, right? But I'm the peacekeeper. I don't like trouble. I really don't. If me and you have a dust up, I want to get it up and out of the way. I don't want to see you out at somewhere, maybe at Walmart, and have to duck behind the counter because I'm ashamed of our relationship and what is coming between us. But I'm going to tell you, listen, there are things that we cannot compromise on. Do you realize that it hadn't been so many years ago that the Southern Baptist Association, they met together and they began to talk they were going to go in the direction of saying that the Word of God is not the innate perfect Word of God. And there were a couple of men of God that stood up and said, no, we will not go in that direction. And you know what was said to them? Well, don't you want to just compromise for the sake of the church? And one man of God said, if we compromise on this, there's nothing left. I won't call his name, but his ministry was called Love Worth Fire. Well, I'll tell you what, his name was Adrian Rogers. That's who it was that said that. Listen here, the man of God has really rebuked. He's rebuked Saul, and Saul has made an excuse. First of all, he's lied. Second of all, now he's blaming somebody else and making excuses. And here's what Samuel says to him in verse 17. And Samuel said, was thou not little in thine own sight? And we're going to see the root of Saul's problem. When thou was little in thine own sight, was not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. In other words, Saul, you didn't put yourself in the position you're in. You didn't make yourself king. God chose you. God put you there. And now you've gotten proud. You think by your own... Listen, you got to understand something, church. God's not going to allow man to lead a nation that's going to take credit for everything that God does. God's not going to let a people lead a nation. And a nation would be foolish to follow somebody who believes they have the power to do all. I'm going to tell you something. That is left up to God. Saul's a prideful man. Full of pride, full of his own self-love and his own self-glorification. And Samuel says, did God not make you who you are and what you are? Listen, this is what Samuel, or what Saul says unto and Saul said, well, these people have brought this from the Amalekites. They're the ones who've done this. They're the ones who've destroyed this. Samuel says, stay and I'll tell thee what the Lord has to say. He goes on to tell you what I just read you. Did God not make you the king over Israel? Listen, verse 18. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and destroy the sinners and the Amalekites and fight against them until they be consumed. Why did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Have you ever been caught in sin? That's a hard question to admit, isn't it? What really makes it sin? Is it that we transgress the Ten Commandments? Well, sure, that's part of it. But it's first and foremost that we did not obey the voice of the Lord. I've been in many situations in my life when I was going and making a decision, God was stirring in my heart and I knew what I was doing was wrong. I knew the choice I was making was contrary to what God wanted me to do. Have you ever done that? And we oftentimes override the power of the Holy Spirit and we do what we want to do. And then when it all falls apart, we find ourselves in the altar and go, God, what happened? You may be sitting here tonight going, my goodness, look at the mess in our nation. What happened? I'm going to tell you what happened. We've been compromising with sin. We've been compromising with ungodliness for years and years and years. It started years ago in our school system when we began to teach evolution. It started years ago when we took prayer out of school and said, God don't belong there. And now most of our children are some of this modern age hates our nation. We've compromised way too long. And God is love and God is merciful. Oh, thank God He is. But I want to tell you this. Sin has a price. And right now, we're living in the price of other generations' sin. Somebody said, Russell, Aaron, nothing happened to Aaron. Aaron got out scot-free when he made that image for them to worship. Aaron may, yeah, you can look at it that way. God didn't wipe him out right then, but Aaron had four sons that ministered in the tabernacle. And those boys, knowing how their father compromised, knowing that he wasn't really serious sometimes about the things of God, they got careless in the house of God, and they offered strange fire, and God destroyed them. His children paid the price for his compromise. Sweetheart, if you compromise and compromise that young man, when he grows up, he'll pay the price. Wes, if we compromise our children, Nathan, they will pay the price. If we continue to compromise and say that what God said is sin is not sin, we will pay the price through our children. When I excuse my sin and say, that's just how I am, there's somebody going to pay the price for my influence. God help me here. Y'all know I'm a passionate person. I cry a lot. Y'all see all that. Y'all know I'm an emotional guy. Y'all figured that out, right? There have been times when my children were young, especially Hunter, and something would happen, and I would just lose my cool. But we call it flying off the handle. Is anybody guilty of flying off the handle? You want me to define that for you? It means you get irrationally angry in a hurry, for anybody that don't know that. I started to see it in him about 12-year-old. He already been saved, but and I convinced myself that I'd made him competitive. We want to get out there and fight for what he believes in. Now he's got to overcome that. Because his daddy didn't know how to keep his temper cool. I'm ashamed. My little girl watched her daddy worry and worry and worry. Why am I surprised sometimes now when she deals with anxiety? It's a price. Sometimes our children are the ones that end up, we see that price being paid through their lives. Now let me say this. That's no excuse for any of you kids. Any of you young'uns. You'll answer to God for your own accord. And most of you have been raised in wonderful homes with a wonderful mother and father. But what I'm saying is this. When we compromise to sin in our lives, we open the door for that sin to continue through the generations. This is serious business, y'all. Because America right now is at the very point of destruction from imploding inside because of compromise. You'll find, if you study history, most of the great societies and great governments did not fall because of some financial hardship. You'll find that they did not fall because of some external force. But you will find that so many of them fail because of the sin that was in their society. And that sin always brings death. Saul had compromised. And now God has told him, Saul, because you have compromised on this, I'm going to take the kingdom out of your hand. I'll tell you what, let's do this for the sake of time. I want you to go to verse 24 of this same 15th chapter. Saul goes to Samuel. Now, well, I tell you what, no, if we've got just a minute, give me just a minute. Listen, Saul blames it on the people. And then again, Samuel verse 19 tells him, said, wherefore did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did what was evil in the sight of God? Listen to what Saul says again now, verse 20. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord. God has revealed to him his sin, but yet he's not willing to accept it. He's still lying to himself. And he's not just lying to himself, he's lying to God. He said, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way the Lord sent me. I brought King Ahab, Agag, the king of Amalek, and utterly destroyed Amalek. He's going to destroy them all, even in his excuse. He's a liar. Have you ever been to that place? Let me tell you, the worst place you can be as a Christian is to lie to yourself. He's lying to himself. He said, but the people took the spoil. It's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault. It's the pressure of society. Everybody's doing it, so I just said it's okay. I just went along with it. It wouldn't really mind. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Compromise leads to destruction. Verse 23, for the rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That's how serious it is what Samuel tells Saul. And stubbornness as iniquity of idolatry. Saul, you're still lying to yourself and you're lying to God. Stop being stubborn. Just confess it. And Saul finally says this. And Saul in verse 24 said unto Samuel, I have sinned. I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. The greatest lie you'll ever tell yourself is that I just went along with everybody else and it's not my fault. He chose to do what he had done. All right, I'm closing. Y'all be patient with us, please. Now therefore, Saul says unto Samuel, pray that the Lord will pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. Let me say this. His repentance is not real. He's worried about how he looks in front of everybody. He's worried about how the kingdom perceives him. He's not seriously sorrowful in his heart. Do you realize there are a lot of people, they repent when they get caught? They're not really sorry for what they've done. They're sorry that they got caught. Oh, y'all ain't going to amen that. That's okay. They're not really sorrowful in their heart. If he would have been truly sorrowful, he would have broke down before Samuel and said, Samuel, what have I done? Oh, God, I'm sorry. I'm sinned. But no, he's worried about how it looks. Let me tell you, I don't care how it looks with everybody. What I'm worried about is how it looks with God. If I'll take care of that, everything else just seems to fall in place, doesn't it? He said, pray to the Lord to pardon me, that I may worship the Lord. Here's what Samuel said unto Saul. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not go with you. You know what Samuel says? You've made your bed. You're going to lie in it. I ain't going with you. Because if I go with you, all I'm doing is validating your leadership. And you're no longer God's man. He's taken his hand off of you because you sinned, and more so because you've lied and been stubborn and would not admit it. No, I won't go with you. You know what, church? Listen to me, young person. All you young people, listen. There are going to be people that try to get you to go with them and be involved in the garbage they're doing. Stand up and say, I will not go. So I never had a man tell me that. Oh, I wished I had. Maybe he did. Maybe I just didn't listen. I don't know. All right. Samuel said, I'll not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected thee from being king over Israel. And Samuel turned to go out, and Saul reaches up and grabs his skirt, his garment, and his garment tears. What a sad. Here was a man that was too proud to admit it. Now he's sorry he's got caught, and now he realizes he's in a world of hurt because God has taken his hand and he's no longer the anointed man that God had chosen. He reaches up and grabs Samuel's skirt, and as it tears in his hand, God speaks and says, that's what I've done with the kingdom. I've ripped it out of your hands because of your disobedience. What if what's going on right now is to fulfill the plan and the will of God? What if out of all this mess and this garbage that's going on around us, what if God ignites the heart of the church and brings about revival in the midst of us? Because there are a lot of people now that have compromised and compromised, and now they're going, oh my, what shall we do? Let me ask you, have you said to yourself over the last 3-4 weeks, my goodness, I just don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what we're going to do. Saul had his opportunity. God rent the kingdom from his hand, and over in a little field of sheep, there was this little old ruddy young lad that took good care of them sheep and that loved those sheep. But that young lad loved the Lord. Samuel would go in and see the brothers and say, bring your son, tell their father Jesse, bring the sons. I want to see your sons. God sent me down here on a mission. And he'd bring all the strapping young sons, and those sons would stand there and Samuel would go, it's not him, and it's not him, and it's not him. Have you got anybody else? Well, over in the field over yonder, there's a little simple ruddy young lad. All he ever does is sing. All he ever does is worship God. All I ever do is hear him thanking God for how God has blessed him. And you know what Samuel says? Bring that boy to me. Here comes David. And the Spirit of God speaks to Samuel and said, there's your king. How many of these little simple teachers and these little simple men and women will God lay his hand on and say, you're the one I want to use? In church, we've got to raise them up and prepare them, because God's going to use some of these youngins to do something that we were not able to do. And what we've got to do is set the stage. What we've got to do is give them something that they can worship God in, a church that they can be free in and grow in the grace of God. I'm telling you, God will use another generation.
But we cannot compromise with what's going on around us. Closing. For me to grow angry and fly off angry and stay bitter because something turned out different than the way I wanted it, have I not compromised? For me to be full of vitriol and hatred and all these other things and my mind continually be down in the dumps and feel like that everything's falling in and everything's going to ruin. Have I not given in? Have I not compromised with a spirit of despair? Listen to me, church of the living God. That's not what's in us. What's in me says this can still be the greatest hour of the church's life. Don't you compromise and get down in the gutter with them. You lift your head up knowing whose you are and who you are. And let's fight this good fight of faith and see where it takes us with the Lord being our God. Oh, brothers and sisters, there's the message. Stand to your feet this morning, this evening. I don't know if we need to get a song. I don't know if anybody, I don't know the heart of the people. But I want to ask you to do this. Get us a song. If you don't mind, listen. I want to say this to my young people. Guys, I want you to hear me now. I want you to hear me. Hey, I love you. From depths of my heart, I love you. And I realize, we got some of the most beautiful godly girls that I've ever seen in the house of God. And you guys don't look too bad yourself. You're pretty good boys. We got some of the most wonderful children. I've got such great confidence in what God is going to do in their life. But don't think for a second that the world's not going to attack them and try to get them to compromise and come down to its level. I'm going to tell you something, church. It's time to put our babies in the middle of us. It's time to form around them, make that wall of prayer and pray for them and make sure they fulfill the purpose of God in their lives. And we've got to set the example because that matters. Listen, don't you compromise. Hey, I'll be honest with you. There are things that I have compromised with that even during this message, God has spoke to me about. Compromise, do nothing but lead us away from God. Let's submit to His power and His authority. What you got, Steve? If you need to pray, listen. Hey, altar's always open. If you need to talk to the Lord, we're going to give you a chance to do that. So you just follow the Lord. Do what you need to do.